Here we go again.
Welcome to Radio 5G with Michael Henry Dunn, Nancy Hopkins, and friends, a Cosmic Reality Radio production.
When all the broken-hearted people living in the world agree, there will be an answer, let it be. For though they may be parted, there is still a chance that they will see. There will be an answer, let it be. Or let it be.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Radio 5G. This is Michael Henry Dunn with my co-host, Nancy Hopkins, and we are here with our special guest, Dr. Deborah Green, to share with you some really important news about developments in Hawaii with the rollout of 5G. And so before I get into that and start to just share with you a little bit about Deborah's background, let me just say we are so glad to have you with us today. Welcome, Deborah.
Thank you so much, and aloha.
Yeah, Deborah's coming to us from Hawaii and checking in, of course. Hello, Nancy.
Yes, I'm here too in Miami.
All right, so we've got really three access points in the United States of America covered, from Hawaii to Colorado to South Florida. So Deborah Green, Dr. Deborah Green, is an author, professional speaker, a recognized expert on energy medicine and mind-body integration. She holds a PhD in communication and somatic studies from Ohio State University, an MA in intercultural communication from the University of Kansas, as well as a BA in communication with a minor in philosophy from the College of St. Benedict in St. Joseph, Minnesota. Among her many accomplishments, she has been an energy medicine practitioner in private practice in Maui for the last 21 years, and has written a chapter in the Goddess Shift book, which is notable for some pretty amazing collaborators on it. This is a book that, among the other women, because the Goddess Shift has subtitle Women Leading for a Change, and it's a beautiful hardcover collection of over 40 inspirational chapters by incredible women from a variety of fields. And Deborah has written a chapter on visionary medicine. So I could easily go on and on. I will mention that Deborah has authored a really excellent article on Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s Children's Health Defense from just about a month ago, entitled 5G, the Global Human Experiment Without Consent. And so we're going to focus on the story about 4G and 5G drones being rolled out in the skies over Maui. That's going to be one of the principal things we're going to focus on. But I'd love to just start out, Deborah, if you could share with us how you became aware of the 5G rollout and the associated risks, and how you came to be doing the work you're doing.
Good question. Because I work in the field of energy medicine, I have for years now been educating people about the dangers of wireless radiation from cell phones and Wi-Fi and baby monitors and cordless phones. And what happened next was, in an area on Maui, we were told that we were going to get smart meters. And smart meters, as you know, communicate wirelessly. And I knew that was a very bad thing. And so then I became kind of an accidental activist, educating people, you know, about the dangers of the dreaded smart meters. And then the next thing, of course, on the event horizon was the big bad 5G. So it's been quite a ride ever since. I've been involved as I call myself an accidental activist because I'm basically an educator. But, you know, when you start educating people about these things and you start learning about these things, you get inspired to take action because they're so demanding of action to stop them because they're so bad. So that's, in a nutshell, how I got involved in all of this and have been for over 10 years.
Wow, that's really good to hear that it's, you know, that long time a commitment for you. The there's a website that we are going to be sharing with people from keepyourpower.org specifically about the rollout of 5G drones in the skies over Maui. Let me read from it a little bit to give people. This is updated only a couple of days ago on August 10th. This is about, you know, signing a petition to stop the 5G drones. What's proposed here is to fly football field sized drones. Try to imagine that. Beaming toxic wireless radiation into the ocean and parts of Maui County. This is proposed by the University of Hawaii Hawk 30 drone program in a three-phase program. And their stated purpose is to, quote, to develop new airborne overhead 5G communication, which would provide strong wireless service over a large area, including deep valleys, remote lands, and over the ocean. You know, as if we're not concerned enough about biosphere collapse, let's see if we can't zap the ocean life as well. And so there's an illustration here of the Hawk 30 telecom platform, which is very futuristic looking, vast, single winged monstrosity. Phase one would include initial testing of two drones over the ocean over Lanai, Kalawe, and Malakini, skirting the south shore of Maui Island for 30 days, and then assuming FAA approval for long-duration flights of up to 6 months, and that Lanai becomes a drone manufacturing plant and a global launch pad for commercial drones flying throughout the equatorial belt. So we could assume that at least until the 20,000 low-orbit satellites are effective, that this looks as if the purpose is to be getting immediate aerial coverage and implementation without consent of 5G radiation. It's a $120 million project sponsored by the University of Hawaii, by SoftBank of Japan, and by AeroVironment, which is a defense contractor, looks like of California, and also by Google. So these are, you know, the usual suspects in terms of corporate sponsorship. And there's a secretive project to build a 12,000-square-foot drone hangar to house two drones on agricultural land on Lanai without public notice and prior to the Lanai Planning Commission meeting showing a lack of good faith. And, of course, Deborah, we can share with you our own experience in New Mexico from just about 6 weeks ago of the county commissioner meeting, which was an attempt essentially to bypass public hearings, to bypass the usual permit process to allow backdoor access to telecom companies wanting to roll out 5G in Taos, New Mexico. Mm-hmm. So with that, 200 acres of former pineapple plantation should not be used for this high-tech drone experiment blanketing the earth with wireless radiation. So this is about a public outcry. It's about a petition. It's about waking people up. And so, Deborah, do you want to share with us a little bit more about where this is at, how the activism to stop it is unfolding?
Yes. So they actually did build that drone hangar, and It's actually 16,500 square feet. I just discovered recently, and it's designed to house two drones. And as you said, they put this thing up without notice to the community, and they did it prior to a meeting of the Lanai Planning Commission, which wasn't, you know, very cool. And when they were confronted about it at the meeting, there was no apology whatsoever. They just basically said, oh, we have to do this. You know, SoftBank wants physical structure. Bunches of paperwork is not going to satisfy them. We have to move ahead. And if the permitting follows later afterwards, that's just the way it has to be, is basically what we were told by Ted Ralston, who is the director of unmanned aerial systems at the Applied Research Laboratory at the University of Hawaii, which is the applicant. So that happened. And then we found out about the project by an article that was published in the Maui News newspaper. And it was literally just days before the Lanai Planning Commission meeting, where at the meeting they weren't actually scheduled to make a decision on the project. They did what's called a workshop, which is basically sharing of information. And we found out about it just days in advance of that. And I, you know, circulated an email, you know, to a group. And as a result of that, hundreds of emails were sent to the Planning Commission and to Maui County officials. And then on the eve of the Lanai Planning Commission meeting, one of the principals in the project posted a comment on the Maui News article online and also on his Facebook page, something to the effect of, we have listened to the community. We hear your request. We have removed 5G from the project. So we thought that was really good news, but that was back on July 16th, and they have yet to modify or amend their application to reflect this promise to the community. So, you know, as far as we know, as of where are we at? We're almost a month later. Nothing has really changed. And another little interesting tidbit is, you know, the response on social media and in the comment section of the Maui News article was, we are responding to the community. We have heard that you don't want 5G. We're removing it. But then when the press release came out a couple of days later, the press release said nothing about responding to the community. It basically, the whole thing got reframed, and they said, oh, it was never about 5G to begin with, and we just wanted to test, you know, this solar-powered drone to see if it would actually stay in the air and so forth. So that was another interesting little twist to the story there. It was almost as if they really didn't want to acknowledge, you know, that people were upset about this and don't want 5G. And instead of 5G, they're going to use 4G. That's what they're saying. As if 4G is perfectly safe and not going to be a problem. And of course, we know better than that, right?
Yeah. Well, the parallels here with what happened in Taos are amazing. When you start out with, in the first place, you know, what you described about, you know, well, the Japanese company won't be satisfied with paperwork and this has to go ahead. This is essentially a bald statement that the democratic process and the right of the people under the 10th Amendment to the Constitution to protect and police citizen welfare, that is out of the picture. We're just not even paying attention. Oh, we'll give you some paperwork after the fact, right? So this was pretty much what was going on in Taos. It was a similar thing where some activists happened to find out, just happened to get wind, similar to your situation, of a proposed change to the language of the land use regulations by the director of planning for the county commissioners of Taos County that would essentially streamline the permitting process, remove the necessity for a public hearing, and at a videotaped hearing, public hearing, the director of planning stated, and it ended up going on YouTube on their own website, this is in response to an influx of applications for fifth generation wireless.
Mm.
3 months later, there's a planning commission meeting. Taos has been woken up. Activists have been working their butts off. 1,000 signatures are on petitions. 300 people show up at this county commissioner's meeting to protest 5G.
Good for you guys.
Yeah, and they did exactly the same thing you're describing, Deborah, where they said, oh, come on, this isn't about 5G. We appreciate your concern, citizens, but someone must have been misleading you. This, there's nothing here about 5G, please. This is just, we're doing some change to our land use regulation language. And, someone's been filling your head with notions. It was, you know, called gaslighting, as they say, to make you think you're crazy. Well, we had experts lined up. We had, you know, one of the experts who was going to be, along with yourself, appearing in the 5G Crisis Summit, which we're going to share that link with everyone. It's, you know, the 5G Crisis. You can go to the 5GSummit.com, an amazing
right.
array of experts who are, from Claire Edwards, the UN official who has been whistleblowing, of course, Dr. Deborah Green herself, who's with us today. Timothy Shekel was one of our experts at the Taos hearing, along with Dr. Sharon Goldberg, was also there with us to testify. And among, you know, these experts and savvy activists was a young woman who, in the middle of this county commissioner's meeting, remembered the guy's original testimony and hopped on her laptop, went back to YouTube, found the guy's quote, and here's the same director of planning for Taos County telling 300 protesters and the commissioners in the room, oh, this has nothing to do with 5G. And we've got his sworn testimony under oath from 3 months before saying that this land use regulation language change is specifically in regard to an influx of applications for fifth generation technology. So it's, you know, the complete rejection of the democratic process and the 10th Amendment to the Constitution. It's a gaslighting of the people that, oh, you know, this isn't really about 5G. And in this case, it's about flat out perjury.
Hmm.
So, you know, this is sort of the pattern that we're seeing here. And, you know, so it's the old strategy you can use, you know, tobacco companies used it over lung cancer, fossil fuel industry used it over climate change. It's the same thing we're seeing with 5G, where they'll make, you know, reassuring public statements such as you're sharing with us. And then behind the scenes, nothing changes, just like in Switzerland, where some of the cantons in Switzerland, you know, registered their protest. It was voted against. And they said, oh, yes, we are responding to these concerns. And they went right ahead with the rollout.
Yes, exactly. So just not fair.
Deborah, what's your next step? I mean, how are you guys – are you organized in any way, shape, or form? Or is it just a bunch of you guys together going like, now what do we do? I mean, what's the degree of organization? And Michael, your video is on. Can you turn it off, please?
Yeah, I mean, it's a it's a good question, and I'm not sure that I want to disclose how organized we are or not.
Okay, that I can totally understand that. I can totally understand that.
When you have the likes of, you know, tech giants Google and SoftBank at your doorstep, you want to be a little wise, you know, in how you approach these things. And so I hope you don't mind, but you know, I please stay tuned and we'll see what happens.
Okay, yeah, will you make an agreement that once you win this thing, that you come back and tell people how you did it? Because,
absolutely.
I mean, we had this one person on Facebook just recently saying that there was a 5G meeting in whatever town or county it was, and would any of the known authorities on 5G, anti-5G, can they come there? And I didn't even bother responding because this is not a leadership thing. You have got to learn this yourself. Every single community has got to figure a way of stopping this, community by community. Don't go to the state. Don't go to the feds. It's your community. You as neighbors have got to come together because it's a system. And if one over here stops it, well, then the system just got stopped. That's why they're pushing for the air now, these drones.
Right.
Because now you don't have a system that is dependent on connection on the ground, which may be, you know, my town may say, I'm not going to do this. You know, now you've got it above you and you have no recourse. It's above you. What are you going to do? Where's the switch to turn it off?
I think there are several, you know, reasons why they're going for the stratosphere. But before I get into that, let me just echo what you said, because it's so true that each community has to figure this out for themselves, because each community is unique. And that is so true here in Hawaii. I mean, we have just such a unique, you know, culture here. And so there's many things that may apply in other places that don't apply here, and vice versa as well. But yes, I'd be happy to come back and let you know, how we win it, when we win it. I love how you said that, when you win this. So, my theory on why they're going for the stratosphere is, number one, that there are almost no regulations, you know, that exist for this type of technology. It's kind of the wild, wild west, and anybody can, you know, almost do whatever they want. And the other thing is that when it comes to satellites, the area of orbit where satellites occupy, I mean, they have been putting satellites up there for decades, and there is so much space junk in that part of the Earth's orbit from all of these satellites, defunct and current, that it's becoming quite dangerous. Because, you know, once a satellite stops working, you can't really get rid of it very easily. It just sits there and, you know, continues floating around, and it's become space junk. And so it's kind of like they've junked up, you know, that part of the Earth's orbit. So let's go to a new orbit. Let's go to the stratosphere. Let's just, you know, find a new place that we can, you know, occupy. And so that's my theory.
So, Deborah, when you're talking about going to the stratosphere, are you aware of the difference just in terms of the orbit? We have all this, you know, low orbit space junk. So the stratosphere
It's closer in. It's closer in to the Earth. Yes. And it's these massive drones will be orbiting between 65,000 and 80,000 feet in the stratosphere. And so they're above airplanes, so they won't interfere with airplanes, but they're below satellites. And so they're closer to the Earth in those terms. And then there's also, in addition to, you know, the football field sized drones that are being proposed here. We also have this giant helium balloon that's a Google project, and it's called Loon. And the Loon is also designed to orbit in the stratosphere. And the drone project and the Loon project have partnered. And so, interestingly, the last, well, it was actually July 31st is when that balloon was first sighted here. And who knows how long it had been orbiting around without us seeing it. But then it spent about a week that we know of orbiting around the Hawaiian Islands, particularly around Maui County. And then it ventured over to the Big Island for a while and then came back to Maui County, which is the island of Maui and Lanai and Molokai. So it's, you know, we think that that giant helium balloon, the Loon, was here probably doing recon for the drones. And it was probably collecting weather data and wireless communications data because the Loon is wirelessly enabled.
So I love the fact they're calling it the Loon. I mean, this is Looney Tune. You know what I'm saying? It's like, come on, people.
I read somewhere that they named it Loon because they thought it was kind of a, you know, strange loony idea. But then when you think about it, Loon is also could be short for balloon. It's a massive helium balloon. And, you know, as I understand it, helium is a precious thing. And it's used for some very important purposes. And so the fact that Google is taking massive amounts of helium and using it for these huge, you know, wireless radiating balloons floating around in the stratosphere is just very disturbing to me.
Do you remember when Google used to say all the time, do no evil? Do you remember that was their theme, do no evil.
That's hilarious.
Isn't it?
Yeah, that used Tragic. To be their motto. They, by the way, not too long ago, they discontinued that motto. It wasn't do no evil. I think it was don't be evil. It's like, well, okay. I mean, there's relativistic kinds of approaches to the don't be evil thing. And evil is defined by whom? Who knows? But they jettisoned that one, interestingly enough. Yeah.
Yes, well, they have their fingers in a lot of pies. And so, you know, having these kinds of giant drones, you know, flying around in the stratosphere in these massive helium balloons, you know, there's very little way to actually police them. I mean, who's going to be up there policing what they're doing? And it's, you know, they can say all kinds of things, but when it comes right down to it, how would we ever know, you know, what they're doing?
Well, right, you could watch the birds fall out of the sky. You could watch the insects die. You could watch the microorganisms and the soul die. But by the time that happens, you're so brain dead you don't see it. That's how you'll know.
Yeah, and of course, as we know, there is research to back up everything you just said.
Oh, yes, I know. Yeah. I've been fighting this battle for 45 years now because I was actually told that they wanted to do this 45 years ago, and I've watched them build it. But what they were not counting on was that human beings were going to go through a massive metaphysical, spiritual evolvement faster than they could get it out, and that's why they're so desperate that they'll say to you, oh, go away. We're not going to, you know, talk to you, because that's their attitude. At this point in the game, we've been dismissed.
Can you tell us what you were told 45 years ago? I'm so intrigued about that.
Sure. I very often referenced it. It's a long story, okay, and all I'm going to say, and you know,
executive summary.
an executive summary. Thank you. Well, I was a military briefer, so I'll give you a briefing.
There you go.
I was told by an insider's insider that they intended to control human beings mental because of the electromagnetic control that they could get, but also to kill them. You know, that they could make them sick, they could make them, and that they were going to do it under the auspices of a telecommunication system.
Wow. You were told this 45 years ago.
I was 76. I was in the electronic warfare when it first started out on the battlefield. I was an Army lieutenant, then captain. So it was like, I know what it looks like on the battlefield. And then when I saw it going into the civilian realm, oh, I see. We don't have to put people in concentration camps. We can build a concentration camp around them using electromagnetic fencing and control. So I've known about this, and this is absolutely, I mean, the fact that we now can prove it is a godsend, because for all this time, myself and others, you know, knew the dangers and knew the intent behind them, but there was nobody looking at it the way we were looking at it. And that's why I say, how are you going to know? You're going to know when you're on the verge of the sixth extinction event, which we're on now. You know,
and then it's too late.
No, it's not, because they rushed 5G. See, it was too late because nobody was paying attention to what was happening. The insects are gone. There's a collapse of the biosphere. The microorganisms are gone. Everything is falling apart. But nobody was listening to us. But then the 5G came. And I say it's a God's gift to us, because now it's an opportunity to wake people up suddenly. And so they wake up about 5G, and we say to them, well, by the way, you've already half killed the planet with 4G. But now they can believe it, whereas before they couldn't. And more data is coming out, you know, to prove what we've been saying. It's a very dangerous situation.
Yeah, let me just mention, as a little bit of an addendum to what Nancy was sharing, that she was a U.S. Army Energy Weapons Specialist. And you shared this before on Project Camelot, so I feel free to just add it in there, Nancy, about how, because of your background with a degree in Russian studies, you were in Soviet counterintelligence and U.S. Army intelligence with, you know, an above top secret clearance. It's not like, you know, a second lieutenant who's an energy weapons specialist just happens to have access to, you know, the level of inside information about the development of 5G as a weapons and surveillance system for the last 45 years. So I hope it was okay that I just added those pieces in there.
Oh, sure.
And you're still alive.
Yeah, I get that a lot.
That's a shocking thing.
Well, of course, as Carrie Cassidy asks you on Project Camelot, she said, so you are not violating any confidentiality oaths, et cetera. And as it happens, at your level of the military, you are not. So, you know, you're free to share within certain parameters best known to you, you know, just exactly what you saw at that time.
Well, in actuality, they never made us sign anything. You know, I never took a secrecy oath. It wasn't part of the scenario at the time. Mm. There's definitely a change, because I got out of the active duty after 4 years, I guess it was, of active duty, but then I was in the reserves for another 8 years, and I kept interfacing with, you know, the community, and it basically became more and more secretive. Yeah, you kept secrets, but this, you know, you weren't going to, you, if you broke your oath, nobody, there wasn't a set up system to, nobody did it. You know, it was, just wasn't done. And then they started getting tighter and tighter and tighter. So that now, yeah, I mean, even my books, I wouldn't have been able to write. You know, there's so many restrictions on people. But, you know, no, I can say anything that I've ever said, because first off, it didn't come from the channels. I mean, you know, I'm saying it's an insider's insider.
Right.
Oh.
Fascinating.
And interestingly enough, Deborah, the insider's insider, they knew what the technology could do, because they were attempting to do it too. Hmm. But their real concern was an unknown player.
Hmm.
It gets very weird, but hey, what the heck. It deals with remote viewing.
I see.
And I was a remote viewer, but I wasn't a known remote viewer within the military structure. It was,
which there were many remote viewers inside the military structure.
Yes, and I tried.
And probably still are.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. I attempted to contact these people because I knew I had a gift, and I sent a full bird colonel. I can't get to these people. Can you find out? You know, contact me, please. And he came back so scared. He was like, "Why did you do that to me?" And so when he came back scared, I thought, well, maybe I better back off of this, only to run into these people once I was technically out of active duty. It was, you know, the universe, you know, mm-hmm. doing things. And the guy that I met was, he was very deep into the project. You wouldn't know his name because that's the people that are really into it. You don't know their names. And he asked me to do, he said, "You're without a doubt the most powerful telepath I've ever met." Because as soon as we looked at each other, we went totally telepathic. And he said, "Are you that good at remote viewing?" And I said, "I'm pretty good." And he said, "Will you do me a favor?" He tested me out. He showed me all sorts of pictures. "Do you know what this is?" And it was electronics. And I'm going like, "Yeah, yeah, it's an oscillator. It's transformers." And then he shows me something, and it was a drawing, not a photograph. And I said, "I have no idea what that is." And he said, "Would you be willing to try to do a remote on it?" And I said, "I don't even know. I mean, I was being prompted, I guess, by Guy. I didn't know who was, or some guy was prompting me, say, yes, I am. Okay, yeah, sure, I'll do it." You know, and what happened was that when I tried to, basically I was using the image as an anchor to find out where this thing is and, you know, right. go find out what it is. And as I focused and found it and went for it, all of a sudden they had essentially a psychic fence up in front of it. And so as soon as I hit the fence, all I got was terror. I was in absolute terror. That emotionally they tripped me into terror, and then they kept sending me swastikas in my head. That's all I saw, swastikas. And I tried over the next, well, it took, you know, a few days, but I tried three times and I could not bust that fence. And so then I call him to tell him what happened, and he said, "You've got to get over here right now, but be careful you're not followed." And so I did, and I got there. I almost was killed in the interim of getting there, but they gave me a warning, and I didn't go through a green light. I stopped. And the car that I saw hit me went through the light, but I wasn't there. So it was like, now I'm like, oh my God, what did I just stumble into? And what had happened was that my signal, especially trying three times, because I'm not I'm not as smart as the other ones and back off and get out of there. I just kept trying. Scared them. Mm-hmm. And so they didn't know who I was because I was in no associate of any of the known organizations. And they essentially turned on a very crude part of that system. And within the next 3 days, there were dozens, apparently, of known psychics in all through NATO and the United States and Canada who had either dropped dead, just, you know, physically all right, and all of a sudden they dropped dead. Some of them became really mentally unbalanced, and there was at least two episodes where they just disappeared. so I get to this guy, and I walk into the apartment, because he was on sabbatical. Every so many years, they'd make them take time off because they would burn out, and he mm-hmm. was on sabbatical. And he was packing up his stuff, and I said, "What's happening?" And he told me what happened, and I said, "So you're saying it's my fault?" And he said, "I'm telling you it was your fault. They felt you, and you scared them." I said, "Well, so what am I supposed to do?" He said, "Don't do it again." He said, "Go deep and go, don't touch this stuff because they're looking for you." Hmm. And so I said, "Okay, you know." And he basically he was going back in. Everybody had been called back in because this was a nightmare scenario.
And back in meaning, sorry, what is that?
It was 1976. Okay, this
called
is,
back in to...
he went back to the remote viewing project that he was on sabbatical from.
And I get
And what had happened is that they turned on a part of the equipment. It was the first thing that anybody knew because it's what they wanted. It was a death ray type of thing. In that an electromagnetic system that can send out a beam, all right, Wi-Fi was well known, can send out a beam that if it matches your bioelectromagnetic configuration perfectly, you're going to just go poop. You're going to lose your molecular cohesion and go into a flash of light. And if nobody's there to see the flash of light, they don't know where you went. All right.
Wow.
So that was what they were trying to do. But this has to be so perfectly matched with the person that there's not that many people that had that frequency. But there were people that had similar frequencies. And that's why you have either people just dropping dead, you know, because their electromagnetic field just collapsed on them, which would then be thought of as a heart attack or a stroke or something. And
right.
The people that went crazy in their brains because it was their mental bodies that were all screwed up from the frequencies. Mm-hmm. He himself had gone comatose for 3 days. He had just left the hospital and was packing up to go back to work. He said the doctors couldn't find out what it was, and he said they didn't have my signal.
Wow.
That's another story, why not? But so I knew what was intended, but I also knew that the Americans did not do it, the Russians did not do it, there was a third player. And that's the player that's, you know, the one, that's the black nobles, that's the, somebody called them, Falcon Brick calls them Team Black.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the guys that are out there with a bit much bigger, grandiose scenario than any of us can even understand, no matter how long you're in it, because it's a psychopathic, sociopathic thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I hope I never understand it. I don't want to understand that kind of activity, that you can justify it.
So is what you're referring to like what some people refer to as the cabal, or is that something different?
When we refer to the cabal, it has many different factions in it.
Mm-hmm.
There's, you know, okay, you've got like the royal family bloodline group, okay? But then you have a group that is directly associated with Nazi Germany.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you don't even know who the players are. And sometimes the players are working together, and sometimes they're working against each other.
Yeah.
So that's you know, I don't even pretend to know who's doing what. I just know that the only way to stop this is for humanity to come together and to stand up and take responsibility for this planet. And if you don't, well, then why? This is just like, you know, Buckminster Fuller talks about. This is spaceship Earth. This is a spaceship.
Yeah.
It's careening at hundreds of thousands of miles a minute through space. And the only thing saving us from outer space is not the metal of a spacecraft. It's our atmosphere.
Mm.
You know, why are you tearing apart the spacecraft? You know, if you think of it that way, it's all of a sudden becomes very real.
Yes, it does. And you know, when you talked about the only thing that's going to save us is humanity coming together, I honestly think that the 5G summit is going to play a role in that, because, you know, this, it's a global summit, and so many people have already signed up, and the momentum just keeps going and going and going. And it is a way for us to all come together and unite, you know, under this particular issue. And so I'm very excited and hopeful about the 5G summit because of that. And I want to encourage people to register for it by going to the5gsummit.com. And it's T-H-E, the, and then the number 5, and then the letter G, summit.com, the 5gsummit.com. And if you sign up now, you can actually watch the first three talks immediately That's Deborah Davis, Patrick Wood, and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. You have immediate access to those by signing up now. So just wanted to say that. And while I'm at it, because our drone issue here in Hawaii is actually a global issue, you know, using the island of Lanai as this launch pad, you know, for these drones to you know, circulate throughout the equatorial belt, anyone can sign our petition at keepyourpower.org. And if you want to learn more about the drone, you can go to keepyourpower.org/drone, and that will take you to the drone webpage. So thank you for allowing me to mention those couple of things.
Oh, yeah, we are really glad to help promote the 5G Crisis Summit. And as long as you've brought it up, Deborah, let me just expand on it a little bit to let people know, you know, some of the other experts besides yourself who are also featured on the summit. And, of course, this is, you know, virtual access to such people as, of course, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Sharon Goldberg, MD, whose YouTube testimony in front of the Michigan legislature has been so widely viewed, just documenting the hard medical science behind the dangers of EMF and Wi-Fi, and particularly 5G. There is, such people as...
Dietrich Klinghardt.
Dietrich Klinghardt. Thank you.
I'm a big fan of his. He's Martin Paul. Martin Paul, so important. Martin Paul, Dr. Paul, because he's the one who has done the research that explains the mechanisms by which this wireless radiation harms us. Because for such a long time, those mechanisms were not understood. And you know, because they were just looking at the heating effects and everything else, you know, researchers didn't realize how this damage was happening from these invisible waves, you know, that damage could happen prior to the tissue actually heating. And Dr. Martin Paul has made just incredible contributions in explaining the mechanisms of harm. Anyway, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but
he's also the one because people out there who listen to us have been looking at stuff. He's the man, the scientist, the doctor who said 5G is the stupidest thing that humankind has ever done.
Yes,
that's what we're talking about.
Yep.
Sorry, Michael, go ahead.
He has also said things like that we have to stop this or we're not going to have very long.
Yeah, it really comes down to that, you know, and the difficulty of getting past people's cognitive dissonance around the notion that the big telecom companies in, you know, collaboration with the FCC are essentially, you know, rolling out a death sentence for the biosphere and therefore for us. It's, you know, you just... The mind reels and you just can't go there. So, you know, what we do on our website at 5g-know.com, which is our radio 5G site, you know, we focus on the most immediately accessible issues that people can understand, which is, you know, the dangers to your children, the dangers to your property values, as people don't want to buy houses where 5G towers are going. And, of course, then the dangers to the biosphere. And without going into, you know, some of the things that once you start to look, you can't really ignore. It's like, okay, what's the real agenda? Who are the real players? Who is this third player that Nancy was referencing? You know, and okay, there's the cabal, there's factions within the cabal fighting each other probably for control of 5G. there's Huawei, you know, and they actually are they working with Russia or not? Are they, you know, infiltrated into the UK's whole communication system already as a intelligence risk? You know, you're reading all these things and okay, whatever that truth is, we've still got to do exactly what Nancy is saying, what you're doing already in Maui, which is community standing up, you know, the human family coming together and saying no. This will not stand. That we are protecting Gaia, we're protecting our children, and we're coming together in order to do it.
Yes, and one of the things that is important about the summit is that we're not only raising awareness and gathering community here, but also presenting solutions. And, you know, sometimes it's easy to go into a place of like, well, this is hopeless, you know, and what can we do or what can I do? And so there's a lot of presenters that are talking about solutions on different levels too, you know, like very practical solutions, like with Timothy Sheckley, who talks about returning to wires, you know, the fiber optic system, you know, how important it is for us to talk about that system. And then there's the whole SafeG thing. Have you guys heard about SafeG?
No.
Yes, no, maybe. Oh, no. Okay. So SafeG is a movement that's gaining momentum. And it's, you know, for those of us who are sort of activists, it's hard for us to always be against things, you know, like stop this and know that. And now we have something that we can actually be for. And when people say, well, okay, you know, what do you think everybody should return to the dark ages and throw their cell phones away and not have a computer? You know, are you a Neanderthal? And it's like, or a Luddite? And like, no, I'm a technology lover. And we can have our technology and we can have safe technology. And that's what SafeG is all about. It's about having safe technology and still keeping the capacity. In fact, by using wired fiber optic technology, the signal is, the internet is much more reliable. It's much more, it's faster, way faster than wireless. And it's also, in the long run, ends up being much more economical, and it ends up being much more secure. And it also ends up being better, you know, for the environment, and on. There's many, many, many reasons why, you know, SafeG, you know, returning to wires is a viable option. So I love talking about that because it gives hope, right?
The only problem with that is that that's assuming the 5G system is designed for technology. It's not. It's designed for control. The frequencies that they're using are actually sub-gigahertz. And with the sub-gigahertz systems, you can look inside any building and see exactly what's happening inside. It's like a glass house.
So are you saying that because the purpose of it isn't really about, you know, faster internet, it's really about control, that automatically a safe G movement is not going to succeed? Or
the SafeG is, you can do that with the 4G and below. 5G is something else. We have to stop it, period. There's no other option here. There's no reason for 5G. It is not a technological system. We've had Mark Steele on here. We've had Sasha Stone on here. We've talked about the technology and the fact that the technology is not designed for superior telecommunications. It's designed for control and to be able to essentially, you know, depopulate the world in an instant.
I see.
You know, I mean, and this is, even people who, like you, are very, very knowledgeable about what's happening out there. It's a real hard judgment to make that, to understand. No, it's a weapon system. And I lost people who listened to me all the time because I was there. And then we started getting the forensic actually getting inside the 5G systems and showing the technology. What is this thing? Well, it's a RAID antenna. What is it used for? Well, it's used for sub-gigahertz system. Why is it there? Well, because you can see through metal, brick, anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is, you know, when you're talking about a depopulation agenda and the idea that it could be used in that way, obviously that, you know, that's a difficult leap for a lot of people to make. And when we're emphasizing hope, as we are here, and emphasizing the human family coming together, and emphasizing, as you just were, Deborah, in looking at the 5G summit speakers, for example, Raymond Broomhall has a whole talk that's part of the 5G summit on how 5G sites are being blocked and removed.
Yes.
And in his talk, it's like, here's a step-by-step legal process. Here's the Achilles heel of the telecom industry. Here's how to connect with your community and to create change.
I mean, Ray's that's amazing. He's amazing. He's already pretty much single-handedly had 900 5G small cell sites removed, and he's prevented a couple of thousand others from being deployed.
That's like the best news I've heard for months.
Isn't that cool? He is amazing.
Wow.
And it's one person that's doing this. This is the key, is that you have to go out there, start really talking to people, and get real about this. It's not telecommunications. It's a total control system. And if you get real about it, you realize it's a system. You just have to stop it from going on. The problem then is what we've already done to ourselves. And that's where the safe G comes in to the play. And honest.
Yes, and
go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I also, I mean, as you know, as an activist and an educator who, like, I, you know, part of what I have to do is to mobilize people, right? And people get mobilized by hope. And so I like to be able to talk about things like SafeG, so that people can feel hopeful and have that energy to be motivated to actually take action and do things. People are also motivated by fear. And so, you know, but I mean, 5G is a scary thing. you don't even have to sensationalize that at all. It's just really frightening. But, you know, when people go into overwhelm and then they feel, you know, what can I do? It's nice to be able to give them something to be hopeful about.
Well, that's when we talk about Shungite. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Did you want to say something, Michael? Because I
I'll let you go on that. I'm glad you brought that in.
Okay. I'm actually writing a book on Shungite. I've been writing it longer than any other book I've ever written. But the way that I start out with my plea to, you know, stop 5G is basically, did you know that Shungite is saving the honeybee? Now,
I did not.
Okay. this is another gift from Gaia, the honeybee. Because what happened was that I know about this problem, and I'd fought it, and then I said, no, I'm not going to fight it anymore. And then I find Shungite. And Shungite will take an electromagnetic Wi-Fi system, signal or a Wi-Fi signal or a radiation signal, and it will change its physical spin. Everything's energy. And what happened, now there's people that think that it's a conspiracy. I think it was just that they didn't know. But I'm not against the conspiracy concept either. That if they had wired the original electrical generator, if they had wired it in the other direction, we wouldn't have the problems we have with Wi-Fi. Okay, mm-hmm. But they didn't. They went a way that caused the signal to rotate in a direction that is opposite the way that our cells rotate. So you got two tops coming together, and unfortunately, electric and Wi-Fi are more powerful than your physical cells. And so the physical cells all of a sudden start to lose their healthy spin, and then they'll stop or even start rotating in the wrong way. And we know that people with cancer have the blood cells are rotating in the wrong way. Okay, so that's how they're able to detect cancer much earlier. It's the rotation of the cells. So shungite, in its magic that has a science behind it, when these signals hit the shungite field, the shungite field is so powerful and rotating in the direction of life that the Wi-Fi signals are immediately attenuated. They reverse. They start spinning the correct way. So they're not hurting you anymore.
Now, and how close does the shungite have to be to an individual in order for it to have these effects?
Well, we've got different types of, over the last 5 years, we've been able to understand the science more to make energy devices that are like a pendant or like stickers, like you put the sticker on your phone, okay? Mm-hmm. And the sticker, all it's got in it is a very little bit of shungite powder, but it's mm-hmm. shungite powder that we have saturated with silver that causes it to be even more powerful, more energetic. But it's just a little bit of powder. And that field is so powerful because associated with that field is what's called the C60 fullerene, which is a molecule of carbon. Newly discovered, first discovered in, made it in a lab, got Nobel Prize in 1989. But the only place that you find it in any real amounts is in the shungite field that's laying in Russia that came from a meteorite that hit the world, about 2.5 billion years ago. Mm-hmm. So it's been just laying there. All the rivers, all the lakes in the area are absolutely pristine. You just put a straw in.
And now, I've also seen some research that shows that shungite actually works better when it's in water. Have you heard of that?
Yes. I'll tell you what. We're at the top of the hour. Why don't we take a break? Because the message of shungite is so very important, and I'm not trying. Yes, I have a store, but I'm telling people it's not gonna save you from 5G. 5G you have to deal with. You don't have to get shungite from me. Understand, my mission is to get the knowledge about shungite to people. I also happen to supply it because it was difficult to get initially. Okay, people couldn't get it, so I had to go back. I worked in the mineral business for decades, so I had to go back into the mineral business for it. I'm not in it for the money. I'm not in it for anything except to make people understand there is a solution. And it's so simple, it's baffling. And it all comes back to the bees. So when we come back, we'll talk about shungite and the bees, and I think that you will be just filled with hope. Because, the shungite bees, they never listen to me on the radio. This is all they're doing. So I'm going to put on a song here. Let's see. What shall we play?
Something with bees.
So I need to get something like that.
Did you know that the name Deborah, it means honeybee?
Oh, wow.
Oh, really? How cool is that?
Let's just talk about where the angels fly. Closest I can get to bees.
With the honeybees, of course.
Exactly. We'll be right back.
Secrets of my heart.
look into my eyes and that's a start. You open me to all the colors of the night and day. And it's here we'll dance between the earth and sky, where the angels fly.
A beautiful song.
Yeah.
Welcome back, everyone, to Radio 5G. This is Michael Henry Dunn with my co-host Nancy Hopkins and our guest, Dr. Deborah Green. And so, yeah, let's flow right back in. Nancy, you were just starting to share with us the Shungite picture on the whole 4G and the hope of the bees.
And I had asked about water.
Water, yes.
Shungite in water. Well, that's increasing its effectiveness.
That's what they first were realizing. The waters around the Shungite field were being considered healing. So Peter the Great sent his physicians, two of them, and they came back and they said, yes, it's true, when he made a spa there. That's where you get the first historical reference to Shungite water being healing. The fact that it was always the pristine water, you know, back then they weren't really concerned about pristine water. But what they've discovered is that, what we've discovered, okay, we know that you can put three Shungite in a glass, okay? And what happens is that the Shungite nuggets cause the field is spinning so fast. The C60 molecule that's, you know, sort of talked about as being the key to Shungite rotates billions of times a second. It's being powered by the quantum field itself. And it's a molecule that was not seen before they made it in a lab, and they were making it in a lab to find out what happened, what kind of a molecule could you get if you were building it in the cosmos and outer space in a vacuum type of thing. And they came up with a C60 that they then found in the Shungite. But it answers all the questions as to why Shungite does so many weird things. It absolutely takes out virtually every toxin in water. Okay? They started using Shungite in water purifiers instead of carbon. And you know, if you've ever used a carbon one, you know, pretty soon the thing stinks so much there's more gunk in it than you would ever get from the water, you know, to a glass of it. And it's, you throw it out, right? Well, when you put Shungite in instead of carbon, there is no gunking. The stuff just disappears. It's transmuted. Okay, now we know why. We know exactly why, but this has been proven. You don't have to replace shungite water purifiers because the shungite does not get toxic. There's no toxic buildup in the system. So we know that this happens. And then the electromagnetic concept of it, that was my main focus initially. But what's happening in the water is that when you got water going in a pipe, if it goes 100 feet or it makes a 90-degree turn, it stops its natural spin. It just goes dead. If you take and you add three shungite nuggets only on the pipe coming into your house, all of a sudden, the water in the pipe starts to spin again, and it'll go both up the pipe and down the pipe because it's resonance. The layers of the cells of the water begin to turn, churn, vibrate in resonance to the ones before it. So as long as the water is continually fed by the shungite field, that it turns the first layer of molecules and they turn everything else. So,
and of course, if I could just point out, you're saying, Nancy, that these three shungite nuggets are on the pipe. They're not in the water, right?
Correct.
It's the energetic field.
It's the energetic field. So based on what I was seeing with how it was working with water and the reversal of the system and everything, and I knew that it was also reversing electromagnetic and Wi-Fi, and I personally believed that the decline in the bee population was due to the Wi-Fi, because there's a correlation between every change, like from first generation to second generation to third generation to the fourth generation, you see a decline, a hit on the bee population. Mm-hmm. And then it sort of staggers and it gets used to what was, you know, the new thing, and it starts to come back, and then they change it again and boom, it gets knocked down again until now, there's no way out. They're dying. They can't survive except for shungite, because what happened was that a beekeeper heard me begging for beekeepers to use shungite on a hive, that I felt it was Wi-Fi. I felt that the shungite would affect the bees so that they wouldn't die. And of course, you had colony collapse.
Right.
And there was a study done where they put in a cell phone in the vicinity of a hive. Well, actually, they had test hives and they had these other hives that had the cell phones right there. And they weren't on all the time. They were on for a very limited amount of time, actually, and during the day. And what they discovered is that the queens of in the Wi-Fi environment were laying like nowhere near the number of eggs that the controls were laying. And after 10 days, there was a complete desertion of the hive by the worker bees.
Mm.
Exactly, colony collapse. That's what happens. So they've proven a direct correlation between the Wi-Fi and the colony collapse. And this guy, Derek Condit, it was his second year of working with the bees. He heard me talking about it. He took three nuggets, put those three nuggets on the entrance to the hives. He had two hives at the time. Well, to make a very long story short, within 11 weeks, he went from those two hives to eight hives. He went from 50,000 bees to over 1 million bees.
Mm.
Now, half of the bees would gone out into the wild. He couldn't capture them all.
Mm-hmm. So when you say nugget, Nancy, how big is this nugget?
That's fair. It's under an inch. I mean, we get
so just
an inch
a small
two.
Little.
Yeah.
And then when you put it by the entrance, you're just like placing it by the entrance?
Right. That's all he did.
Duct taping it on there?
No, because this stunned me, and it stunned him. Okay, he puts the three nuggets on the outside where the hive, you know, the door is. And he puts it off to the right side. Well, pretty soon, all of the bees started walking over the shungite, and they were rubbing up against it because they're taking a little teeny chip of the shungite with them, but that's got an energy field that protects them while they're out getting honey from Wi-Fi.
Oh, how cool.
And then they're not getting whacked, so their immune system stays up, and a healthy bee can take care of mites, and we're into our third season of doing this. We have never lost a bee to mites, disease, or colony collapse. Not a one.
That is so cool. That is so awesome.
Okay, and it's worldwide. They're doing this all over the world. So that's why I'm telling you this, because the people that are concerned about 4G, 5G, they want to make the technology safe. The playing field becomes leveled once you understand Shungite. We have devices.
But I thought you said it doesn't apply to 5G.
It doesn't apply to 5G. Okay. But the interest in all of this comes from 5G. Now they're scared to death. Okay. 5G, you have to shut it off. But I can get you safe in a 4G environment right now. Just get the Shungite. And you don't have to get it from me. We've tried to make a lot of different versions of it, a lot of different devices so that you can try all sorts of ways of getting Shungite into your environment. But the key to it is that once you get the Shungite in there, all of a sudden your brain starts to unfog. Because the Wi-Fi is being attenuated or changed. So it's not beating you up. And because what happens is that the Wi-Fi comes into your brain and the cells are rotating one way, the Wi-Fi the other way. So now you've got friction and that causes heat, which causes inflammation in the brain, which makes you can't think right.
Let me just ask right here on that, Nancy, since Deborah is an energy medicine practitioner, whether you have seen, Deborah, in your work with patients, whether there are these kind of measurable psychological, mental, neurological effects of proximity to Wi-Fi. We'll just talk 4G for now. Or, where we know 5G has been rolled out, where your experience as an energy medicine practitioner has come into play and you've seen maybe they're just anecdotal rather than, peer-reviewed studies with controls and the rest of it, incidences of this kind of brain fog effect, to say nothing of the other medical and health effects of 4G?
Yeah, well, I do have some clients that are, what is sometimes called electrosensitive. And I don't really like that term because it's sort of the same as saying that somebody is like arsenic sensitive. I mean, we're talking about a poison here and, everybody's being affected by this, whether they feel it or not. And so it's kind of misleading to talk about somebody being electrosensitive as if that person is being affected, but the rest of us aren't. I do have some clients that, would fall into that category. And I actually have, instruments to measure the different EMFs. I have a gigahertz solution high frequency analyzer. And I have a Stetsarizer, to measure the dirty electricity, the harmonics. The high frequency analyzer, of course, measures the microwave frequency from cell phones and Wi-Fi and any, like baby monitors and cordless phones and things like that. And then I have another instrument that measures the lower end of the spectrum, the magnetic flux. So when I go into someone's home and measure these things, there are very simple steps oftentimes that can be taken to mitigate this, and it's extraordinary what's happening right now. For example, I recently had a client who's electrosensitive, and I had made her home completely safe, EMF safe. And then all of a sudden she started getting symptoms again. And for her, it's the brain fog, as you described, Nancy. It's also she gets like super anxiety, just feels like on edge, plugged in, cannot relax, can't sleep. The insomnia thing is there. And she also gets an electrical sensation in her body. And so this was happening again and she couldn't figure it out. And it took her a while to actually contact me. But when I went over to her house, there were very high levels in her bedroom. And then we were able to trace it back to the second bedroom that she used as her office area. And it turns out that it was a printer. She had bought a new printer And the printer was not only Wi-Fi enabled, but also Bluetooth enabled. And between the combination of those two things, it was penetrating through two walls into her bedroom. And, you know, it just blows my mind how these appliances and devices, that they're manufactured in such a way where they're always emitting like that. And so I went in and into the menu and turned off the Wi-Fi function and the Bluetooth function, and the thing was still emitting. And the only way we were able to mitigate it was by actually turning the machine off. And then, you know, the levels completely dropped. And so now she just keeps the printer off and listen until she wants to print something. She turns it on very momentarily and then turns it off again. So that's a very simple thing that people can do. And I have another client whose home I was testing, and we were getting really high levels throughout the house, and we couldn't figure that out. And then it turns out that it was coming from a ceiling fan that was wirelessly enabled, the ceiling fan. And she didn't even know this. And so we went online and looked up the, you know, brand of this fan and everything. And sure enough, there it was. Like, it's Wi-Fi enabled. And then she had to, you know, figure out how to turn that off. And when she was able to turn off that function, then everything calmed down. So, you know, the home, if you're buying new things, new fans, new printers, the chances are that they're emitting. And it's really important to look into that and find out. I actually have my own story about that, because I live in a condominium, and I went away for a couple of weeks to the mainland. And then when I got back, I was having a very hard time sleeping, and I felt like I was getting irradiated. And I'm not even electrosensitive, but I could feel something. And so I took out my instrument and started measuring, and sure enough, in my bedroom, there was an area right at the head of my bed that was completely off the charts. And it turns out in the 2 weeks that I was gone that I got new neighbors, and the new neighbors had something that was just very, very strongly emitting. And I eventually was able to speak with them and share, you know, my concerns about this. And it turned out to be a baby monitor.
Oh, wow.
It's so sad. They have this infant baby, and they're using this baby monitor that I have never experienced. I mean, I've tested, you know, quite a few homes, quite a few spaces. I have never had readings this high ever, and it turns out to be a baby monitor. Like, how heartbreaking is that?
Yeah, when you think about all the thousands of those that are in, you know, nurseries around the world.
Yes, it's, and this is parents who are trying to be good parents, you know, and they're trying to keep their children safe, and they end up, you know, with this.
Now, did they listen to you?
I do not know the answer to that. I, you know, they seemed to take in what I was saying, and the mom especially seemed kind of savvy to the issue, but I didn't leave it to chance. I actually put up, a fabric, a metallic drape, along the wall of my bedroom because I didn't want to take any chances. And, you know, on the off chance that they might turn it off and turn it back on again, or, you know what I mean? Maybe they'd have it off during the day, but turn it on in the middle of the night. And so I just didn't want to take any chances. So I put up this, you know, you can buy these fabric, metallic drapes and pieces of fabric that block. And so that's how I solved that problem.
Okay. Now, will that fabric also block smart meter signals?
Yes, any kind of wireless emission like that. And I got it at lessemf.com.
Say that again, please.
It's called Less, L-E-S-S, as in not as much, Less EMF www.fivegmedicine.com. And I'm not affiliated with them. I don't work for them. I don't get any money. You know, this is just me sharing information. And on that website, lessemf.com, they have these fabrics that you can buy, and you can specify how many feet, what the dimensions. And if you look at those fabrics, they also show you the frequency range that particular fabric will block. So it's very, very helpful. It's a very helpful online store where you can buy all kinds of EMF protection products. So
thank you very much for that.
Yeah, it's, you know, especially for people like me where, you know, I live in a condominium complex, I can't control my neighbors, you know, so it's helpful to know that you can take these steps. And I ended up buying the copper fabric, and so it's actually kind of pretty. It didn't wow. Make my bedroom look too horrible.
Yeah, that's really good to know.
It actually looks like satin. It looks like a satin sheet, you know. It's actually kind of pretty.
Hmm. Well, what you're describing, Deborah, of course, is the Internet of Things, right? Where suddenly, you know, a ceiling fan goes up or a printer goes in, and it's, you know, Wi-Fi enabled, of course, Bluetooth enabled, and then it turns out, what's the point of having a, you know, Bluetooth or Wi-Fi enabled ceiling fan? Well, that's the whole concept behind the Internet of Things. And I'm quoting here from the article that you wrote for Children's Health Defense, which is Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s organization. This is an article from Dr. Deborah Green that came out July 11th of this year. 5G, the global human experiment without consent, and is talking about the Internet of Things, which you've just been describing the immediate damaging effects of in a home environment from your neighbors. This is a quote from your article. Planet Earth blanketed in radiation. The 5G agenda is vast. It includes 200 billion, that's with a B, 200 billion transmitting objects, according to estimates, that would be part of the Internet of Things by the year 2020. Of course, that's 4 months away, with 1 trillion transmitting objects a few years later. 5G is meant to usher in more robotics, artificial intelligence, and autonomous vehicles, including 5G antennas installed inside cars, behind our heads, and irradiating our brains so we can talk to people in other vehicles and instruct our driverless cars on where to take us. So that's, you know, this is an example of what's being rolled out.
Yes, and do you know what else is being rolled out as part of the Internet of Things? There already exists smart diapers so that you don't have to check your baby's diaper yourself. You know, you don't have to get your hands messy. You don't have to interact with your child. You can just go to your smartphone and the smart diaper will tell you whether it needs to be changed or not. There are now already smart pacifiers. In case your child drops their pacifier somewhere, you can, you know, look at your smartphone and find out where the pacifier is because it's being tracked. There are smart mattresses that will sense who is lying on them and can tell you if there's any infidelity going on.
Lord.
There are smart toothbrushes so that you don't have to think about when to change your toothbrush. The smart toothbrush can tell you if you're brushing your teeth right or if there's areas that you're missing. There are smart pills that, you know, doctors can track whether their patient is actually taking the medication or not. They can track what's happening inside the patient's body when they do take those smart pills. There are smart toilets. There are sex bots. There are smart tampons. You don't even have to think about when to change a tampon because your phone will tell you because the tampon has a sensor on it that's irradiating the inside of your body. There are smart condoms. And of course, the ever popular womb pods. And this is something that is inserted inside the womb when a woman is pregnant, and this womb pod is designed to serenade the fetus with music.
Good
Don't
Lord.
These things sound inviting? Doesn't it sound like something that you just have to have?
This sounds like I just fell into bizarro land. You got to be kidding
right?
me.
No,
okay,
okay. These things already exist.
Let's take this to the umpth degree here. What kind of smart condom are you talking about? I mean,
I would imagine.
Wouldn't you think somebody would know when they had to change that without looking at their fucking phone?
I would imagine that the smart condom is that it would send off an alert if the condom was about to break. I would imagine that might be the purpose of it. But I have no idea.
Oh, God. All
yeah.
right.
All right. Of course, our minds.
This sounds romantic.
Doesn't it sound romantic? And you have to keep your smartphone by you at all times because that's what's going to alert you in all these things. You have to keep your smartphone, you know, like on your person. So if you're lovemaking, you got to have your phone right there so it can tell you if the condom is about to break.
This is insane. I mean, insane.
There's a comedy scene waiting to happen there. Some
Saturday Night Live right here.
Yeah, so here's another funny story. I attended the drone meeting on the island of Lanai here in Hawaii. And Lanai is a small island. The population is like, you know, a little over 3,000 people. And Larry Ellison, who's the founder of Oracle, owns the island. He owns 98% of the island. And he seems determined to bring his high-tech world, you know, to this sleepy small island. And when I attended this meeting, the meeting went very late. It was a 3.5-hour meeting. And by the time it ended, it started at 5 p.m. and it ended at 8:30. So it was right over the dinner hour. And then when it got finished, there was no place to eat. Like all the restaurants had closed because, again, Lanai is pretty tiny. And so I ended up eating at Larry Ellison's hotel restaurant. And so I'm at this restaurant and I'm just kind of creeped out by all this that I've heard about this drone at the meeting. And so then I go to the restroom and I go into the stall and I close the door and I turn around and the toilet opens by itself and scares the bejeebers out of me because I'm like, wow, what's that? So the toilet seat flips up on its own because somehow it sensed that I was in there. And so then I sit down on the pot and the toilet seat is heated and it felt like I had wet myself. And I'm like, wow, what's that? And then I practically expected like this hand to reach up and wipe me or something. I mean, it was so bizarre. It was just otherworldly.
I'm laughing so I can't believe this. This is
like you just want to have some privacy. You know, you just want to do it yourself. You don't need to have the toilet seat opening and, you know, heating up your bum while you're sitting there. Anyway, it's just very bizarre experience.
Wow, this takes me back to that bestseller from the 70s. Maybe you remember Megatrends. I mean, we're dating ourselves by talking about Megatrends. But the one of the Megatrends they predicted coming in the future was this thing they called high-tech, high-touch, that with every advancement in technology, there was a corresponding human reaction to, you know, a desire for human communication. The one example that gave of this was, you know, camera phones, the idea that we'd have telephones where you could look at each other. That technology was available from the 1960s. And I remember going to the Museum of Science and Industry in Chicago as a kid. I was like, here is the telephones of the future, and you will be able to look at each other. Well, there wasn't the demand for it because people just freaked out. They didn't want it. They didn't want to be looked at. And I still don't want FaceTime. Thank you very much. You know, you're like, oh, my gosh, do I have a nostril hair that I didn't get? You know, is where you go with this. And so there's this what they call this high-touch response when high-tech gets out of hand. hand, which is exactly what you're describing in the toilet stall, right?
Yeah, and you know what the concern is, though, the kids that are growing up with this stuff, because it's like, you know, for you and I in our generation, we didn't grow up with it, and so it does seem creepy and weird. But kids that are growing up with this, it's such a part of their, it's as if the cell phone is an extension of their body. I mean, it's that embedded into their psyche, into their consciousness. And the thing about being on camera all the time, you know, the whole selfie thing and FaceTime and just constantly recording every minutia aspect of your whole life and putting it out there for the whole world to see. And what that does, it pulls us outside of ourselves. And so we're constantly not present with ourselves. We're constantly externalized and seeing ourselves from some kind of external perspective. And it separates us from our, you know, wisdom of the body, that sort of sensual wisdom. It separates us from our own consciousness. It separates us from our ability to stay tuned with what's going on inside of us. It separates us from our intuition. It separates us from those higher dimensional energies, higher consciousness. I mean, it's really an assault on all levels. It separates us from our feelings It's like an existential crisis in that way. You know, it goes far beyond just gadgetry and invasion.
As one of my co-hosts said to me, Walt Silva, he said, "I don't know why we're so concerned about artificial intelligence." He says, "We have biological AI." And I said, "What do you mean by that?" He said, "Look at these kids and their phones. They're not, nobody's in there. It's biological AI." And I think, it was like, whoa. I think you're right. You just described that to me.
Yeah, I think it's sad but true. And then, of course, then what do we have with that? We have really high rates of you know, suicide in young people. We have depression and anxiety that is off the charts. It's like, what, 85% of young people are on some kind of anti-anxiety or anti-depression medication? I mean, it's very tragic for the future, I think, of the planet.
Yeah, and this is where we're coming from with the work we're doing here in Crestone. I mean, one of the two sponsoring organizations of our show here, Radio 5G, there's Cosmic Reality, which is the radio network we're on right now, from Cosmic Reality Shungite, and the Sacred Academy of Global Evolution here in Crestone, where it's sacred activism training. And sacred activism is a term coined by the scholar and mystic Andrew Harvey to describe the need for activists to have a grounding in a meditation practice, so that we don't burn out, because the facts can be so bleak and heartbreaking out there that, you know, lives devoted to activism can be heartbreaking, and just you have empathy burnout and burnout on multiple levels. And then also for the mystics and the contemplatives out there who in the field of consciousness have engaged in, you know, scientific techniques of meditation that allow you to directly experience the fact that, you know, we are united ultimately, that, you know, the illusion of separateness, of that there is this hidden unity among the human family, among souls, among creation itself. And that an essential part of this, you know, when I listen to what you're describing here, Deborah, about this loss of connection to the soul, essentially, that is being created by, especially in the younger generation, by this, you know, dependence on this external, by removing that essential bond to our consciousness, to the wisdom field of the body, that this is one of the benefits of meditation and of a movement away from dependence on cell phones and technology. You know, we like to say, it's like you said, we're not trying to be Luddites here. We're not saying, hey, we're going to go back to the Stone Age. We're not saying throw out your laptops and cell phones. But artificial intelligence needs to be in service to human freedom, needs to be in service to spiritual evolution, conscious evolution of the human being. And that in order for that to happen, organic intelligence, the organic intelligence of our consciousness, of our soul, needs to be the master of artificial intelligence and guided by what we call divine intelligence. So essentially, it's AI needs to be in service to OI, organic intelligence, guided, please God, by divine intelligence. And it's, you know, it's a long
DI.
Haul. DI, exactly, by DI. So that's, you know, our focus here in the work we're doing. You know, we've got already the activist movements we were doing, which you were describing down in Taos, 3D on the ground activism about, as Nancy says, how to get communities together, how to take effective action. You know, the work you were describing of Raymond Broomhall, who's part of the 5G crisis summit, of, you know, hundreds of 5G sites being blocked and removed. This is the hope on the 3D level. And, you know, on the consciousness level, there are, you know, metaphysical realities, energetic realities, meditation practices that we absolutely need to be bringing into the field of this work of restoring Gaia. So anyway, that's just something I wanted to share.
It's exciting. Do you guys have a website with that work?
Yeah, we do. It's actually currently being expanded. We originally founded under the name the Sacred Academy of Geoenergetics, because our founding here in Crestone, which is an off-the-charts electromagnetic phenomenon unto itself, came about because there was a community here studying the ley lines, the grids of the planet, how they have been, how they can be used, how they've historically been used as part of sacred sciences. It's measurable with the building of great temple sites around the world, from the Great Pyramid and the Giza Plateau to Stonehenge or Chartres or Notre Dame. You know, the builders of these places aligned the ley lines. They knew what they were doing. It's a Templar science. It goes beyond the Templars. It's, you know, it's quite ancient. And so when I connected to that community here, and we founded the Sacred Academy, we wanted to be explicitly spiritual. That's why the word sacred, and also scientific. And then as we reached out to other groups, we saw that this is essentially a dynamic of one soul at a time. That is how it's like one community at a time with 5G. One soul at a time is how the energetic shift reaches a critical point, and that's essentially about global evolution, and that to train the leaders of tomorrow in sacred activism is to train those in whom organic intelligence is guided by divine intelligence to integrate and make safe artificial intelligence. So that's how we came to be doing the work we're doing. The website is still at the moment under geo-energetics.org. However, we've just changed the name to the Sacred Academy of Global Evolution. So it still has the lovely acronym of SAGE, S-A-G-E, and now it's the Sacred Academy of Global Evolution. And so by all means, if you're interested, and I'll share some material with you via email if you'd like to.
Totally check that out.
Yeah.
I just to piggyback on that, on my YouTube channel, I created a meditation to help stop 5G.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And my YouTube channel, it's Dr. Deborah Green, as in DR Deborah Green. And you can check out the meditation to help stop 5G. I think I called it the Meditation for Safe Technology because, again, I didn't want to have it be a meditation for something negative, but to have it be for something positive. But anyway, check it out.
Yeah, I love that. Our one of our leaders on with the Sacred Academy, Reverend Maya Nartumid, who we've also had as a guest here on Radio 5G, has a beautiful meditation protocol, very much along those same lines. Mm. Not, you know, it's not a Stop 5G meditation, but it is, you know, a very powerful, essentially it all comes down to frequency and vibration. Mm. And that's the level at which meditation such as these are effective. And, you know, plenty of science on that. Mm-hmm. You know, this isn't just, oh, let's all pray and be holy and suddenly it'll all stop. You know, that's a lot more formidably scientific than that. In fact, Nancy and I were talking about this just last week, and maybe I can hand this back to you, Nancy, on that when we were talking about as we're stopping 5G, as we're promoting safe G, there is the reality that of course, we want to protect ourselves and our loved ones as much as possible. As Nancy says, at the sub-gigahertz level, 5G is not going to be stopped by Shungite. And yet, there is an attunement with the conscious field and the link to the quantum field that, because of the nature of the fullerene molecule, is present in Shungite. It literally has a consciousness field that can be worked with. I brought this up to Nancy last week, and maybe you want to take it from here, Nancy, just talking about how becoming what we could call a Shungite being, meaning in resonance with that quantum field, which essentially is in resonance with the healing aspect of Gaia herself, can, you know, protect us as we move about this work. Am I saying this right, Nancy? Do you want to take this over?
Yeah, you did a good job of it. It's essentially, you know, that the Shungite energy is, well, I don't know if you know of Andrew Bartz is the galactic historian, but he said something that my guides had actually told a shaman during a session, and that is that Shungite is, you know, absolutely a finite object, but it has infinite powers. Because of this access to the quantum field that it has. And let me just see if I can quickly pull this up, because like I say, I tell people, I say, look, we're talking about a science. It's not that we're not metaphysicians or not spiritual, but there is a definite science behind all of this. And
when you're talking about the quantum field, are you talking about like zero point energy?
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And let me see if I can find this, because Buckminster Fuller, who is so very critical in understanding so much about Shungite itself, he said something that I cannot see where my notes, I was working on the book, but it was one of these things where I'm just going to try to pull it up. He said that when you've got the zero point situation occurring, which occurs when you've got all the lines and all the angles are the same,
you coherence.
Have coherence. You've got a coherent field, but it's a coherent field that goes absolutely zeros out. That's why they call it the zero. It goes null. And once mm-hmm. you have that, you open up the quantum field. And mm-hmm. what he said wasn't in terms of the science, that he was the one that really got into this whole concept of vector equilibrium. But what he got into was what does this mean? And it's infinite potentiality. He says mm-hmm. it in a more elegant way, but it's infinite potentiality. So whenever you're dealing with the concept of Shungite and the concept of resonating with a specific frequency, you're giving permission for yourself to vibrate at a frequency that gives you absolute potentiality in anything you want to do, because manifestation requires thought. And once you get the feeling that you are a Shungite being, that we are authentic people, that we do not need to play the games of the Matrix 3D. We can create a new reality based on the golden rule. All of these things come from a certainty inside of us. And once you've got that certainty, then get out of the way, because anything, we're capable of making changes so fast that makes your head spin.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting to hear you say that manifestation requires thought, because, you know, a lot of meditation is about no thought, right? It's about not having thoughts. It's about that still point within. So it's interesting to think about that. Paradoxically.
Well, that's actually quantum physics. That's uh-huh. a known principle of quantum physics. You have to have thought to have manifestation. It's one of the primary ones.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you come to meditation, and of course it's a word that covers a vast amount of territory, how Buddhist meditation, different disciplines within Buddhism, or for example with my own practice over the years, it is highly scientific but also devotional, and so that at a certain point is about a focused concentration upon a particular aspect of the divine, but one can only go there once the thoughts have stopped. The observing the breath slows down, observing the thoughts, they come, you let them go, the thoughts slow down, heartbeat slows down, you become aware of awareness itself, free of thought, and that is essentially the beginning of awareness of the soul, because that is the essence of the soul is pure awareness. And so from that point, then many other things become possible. Paramahansa Yogananda described, meditation as, the freed concentration of the soul, freed through this process of watching the breath and watching the thoughts, which is then free to commune directly with Source. And that is the goal of that particular path. Different paths of Buddhism have other goals, other frameworks of understanding, because Buddha refused to even talk about the existence of God or the soul. It's like, let's lessen suffering and increase compassion, and we'll worry about that later. So it is, for me, when I listen to, tune into the conversation we're having here, that being at zero point greatly empowers our ability to manifest. That's something I certainly want to get better at. It sounds, Deborah, as if you have, and I saw a little bit of this on your website about, for example, your book, The Endless Energy Book, seems to proceed from that kind of understanding. Is that right? In our last, we've got a few minutes left here. Would you like to elaborate on that?
Yes, I think it's just as you described. I mean, I agree with what you're saying and with what Nancy said. And the way that I would understand it is that it is that place within those higher dimensions, connection with Source, however you want to language that, that's like the source of inspiration, or the source of, I guess we could say, intention. And then from that pure source, we can then step down, so to speak, those energies into some kind of thought form and manifestation, which is what Nancy was talking about. That's how I would see it. And, of course, it's not quite that simple, because there's all kinds of distortions that can happen along the way. And that's what I talk about in the Endless Energy book. I talk about our energy bodies, our vital body, which is sometimes called the etheric body. or the biofield, and then I talk about the emotional body, which is sometimes also called the astral body, and I talk about the mental body and the spiritual body. The Endless Energy Book is basically a use and care manual for those four energy bodies, for those four dimensions of us. And so, you know, some of this, practical aspects of those spiritual dimensions would be in those chapters of the book where we can access those higher, you know, higher dimensional realms and not have a lot of distortion happening from our other energy bodies, because that happens, right?
Yes. Yeah, it does a bit. I notice I'm looking at the page. By the way, I just want to mention again, we're with Dr. Deborah Green, and her website is deborahgreen.com. That's D-E-B as in boy, R-A-G-R-E-E-N-E.com. I notice
you can also be found at yourenergymatters.com. Sometimes I just say yourenergymatters.com because people know how to spell that. Because both of my names can be spelled in different ways, right? There's different ways to spell there Deborah. Go. There's different ways to spell Green. So anyway,
I have the same problem with the last name Dunn with an E at the end. But right? I noticed that among the endorsements is Dr. Bruce Lipton.
That's right,
the best-selling author of The Biology of Belief. Who says Endless Energy, the book we're talking about, of Deborah's book, offers an informative and skillfully woven presentation on how the mind, emotions, and energy fields shape our physical life, included a valuable step-by-step strategies to manage our energy bodies and regain sovereignty over our health and happiness. And, you know, that's really that phrase, regaining sovereignty. I mean, it's so much what everything we've been talking about tonight, you know, is about for us, is reasserting our sovereignty as human beings, as children of this planet, children of Gaia, as Americans under the Constitution, and our sovereignty over our body and soul is ultimately exercising. That is what is going to help us win this, well, we'll call it a struggle. We'll call it a hopeful. As Lancey likes to say, hey, the game is already won. Guy has already got this figured out, but we have to go through the steps, right? By the way, are you familiar with Psych-K, which is a methodology also endorsed by Bruce Lipton for removing subconscious beliefs? I only ask because it's something I'm familiar with from Crestone. Are you familiar with
I am familiar with it, and I, yes, I do something very similar in my inner clarity work. Yep.
Yeah, I noticed from some of the languaging that I was seeing in your site that it seemed similar.
Mm-hmm.
Can we do one thing here? Can you explain to people what you mean by the 5G? What is it? The 5G conference, because they don't have to go anyplace. They just have to sign up and listen on the internet. Correct?
That's right. Yes, they just go to the5gsummit.com and register, and then immediately they will have access to the first three talks, which is Deborah Davis, Patrick Wood, and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And then the rest of the summit launches on August 26th, and it's free, and it goes from August 26th until September 1st. And there are approximately five or six talks that are delivered every day in that time frame, delivered meaning to your inbox, so to speak. Once you register, you will be given login, and then you log in while the summit is on, and you can listen to the talks and just get the latest and the greatest on all these different aspects of 5G.
So there's no excuse. There's no cost. All Correct. You do, all you don't have to be anywhere, go anywhere. You don't even have to show up on an internet site at a specific time. All you have to do is sign up, and they will send these to your email. And at your convenience, or when you get people together. Let's look at this. Let's hear what they're saying. I mean, this is such a sweet, sweet operation.
It truly is. And these are truly the cutting edge, leading people talking about the various aspects of 5G, from the health effects to how to maintain, you know, your inner, you know, stability and freedom and clarity in the face of this onslaught, and then very practical steps that you can take to help protect yourself. There's, you know, people talking about solutions to tech addiction. There's people diving much deeper and going into the darker, so to speak, you know, sides of the topic. There are, you know, speakers talking about the subtle energy aspects of the topic. And yeah, it's just really, a very broad and deep, type of summit. I think 39, speakers in all. So
they screwed up when they made that internet. Cause it
right,
allows us
their
to
biggest
get together.
Mistake. Yeah. Right. This is amazing.
We're out of time here.
It is amazing.
This has been one of our best discussions ever, and just so appreciate Aww. You, Deborah, truly. And again, everybody, this is the5gsummit.com, you know, an amazing assemblage of information, practical information, illuminating and hopeful. Let's just keep that word in mind, because it's the thing at Radio 5G that we keep coming back to, folks. Spirit will win, humanity will win, we are winning, and it's because we're coming together in this way. So thank you again so much, Deborah, for taking the time to be with us.
Thank you. I've enjoyed it very much.
All right. So for Radio 5G, this is Michael Henry Dunn with my co-host Nancy Hopkins, and thanks everybody for tuning in, and we'll see you next time. God bless.
Thank you for listening. May it be.
Let it be.